There is a word from the Lord on today. Let us go back to that prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 2b and verse 3. When you have it, please say amen. Isaiah 61, half of verse 2, 2b, and all of verse 3. This is the word of God for the people of God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this hour and this time that you allow us to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, we ask that you fill us with your preaching power on today. Help us, dear God, to give to the people what you've given to us, that they might be edified, God, as you are glorified, that they might be encouraged, O God, in their time of despair, that they might find hope when it seems like it's hopeless. God, I know you can do it because you've done it before. And now, God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for all that you continue to do. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our sermon title today is Beauty for Ashes. A couple of weeks ago, we took a look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2a. And the gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, which are of the same proclamation. We talked about everyone having a God-given assignment. Isaiah, in this 61st chapter, is prophesying about what was to come. In Luke, Jesus is stepping out on his call and his assignment from God. Jesus is acknowledging that it is the Spirit of the living God that has empowered him to do the work, his assignment. He says, I came to be a preacher, to preach the gospel to the poor, the meek, and the afflicted, to tell the good news of redemption from sin. He said, I came to be a physician, to heal and bind up the physically and the spiritually sick and brokenhearted. He said, I came to be a liberator, to break the bonds of evil and proclaim freedom from sin and satanic dominion. I came to be a deliverer, to open spiritual eyes of the lost that they might see the light of the gospel and be saved. After Isaiah prophesied of the fourfold characteristics of Jesus' ministry, which the church has been called to continue and fulfill as long as it is on earth, Isaiah is foreshadowing what is going to happen in the life of God's people, and at the same time is fulfilling his calling as a servant of the Most High God. Judah is still reeling from the oppression of the captivity of the people, from the breakdown of the homeland, and from the effects of the Babylonian conquest. The remnant was trying to find their way back from desolation. The people were in a state of depression. The people were under the heavy hands of oppression, and it appears as if there was no way out and no way to recover. The people are walking around thinking to themselves, will life ever get any better? Isaiah had already prophesied of what would come when the Messiah came and his temple and his kingdom, which would be for all people. It would be for Jews and Gentiles, bond and free, whosoever proclaimed Jesus as Lord. Yes, they were going through much hardship. Yes, they felt lost and forgotten. Yes, they thought that although they had repented of their sinful ways, that God had forgotten them. Isaiah, whom God has shown the dawning of a new day, that would come to establish the new heaven and the new earth. The people needed a word right now. Have you ever needed a right now word? Have you ever needed just to hear from God? Have you ever just couldn't find your way, but knew that just one word from the Lord, from the throne of grace, could change everything? Isaiah prophesied that God will provide. The first promise is to console those who mourn in Zion. God will give them beauty for ashes. What are ashes? They are nothing more than the remains of something that once was. We look back now, what used to be, and we're wishing it could be that way again. We have lost something or someone that used to be, and are wishing we could have that person or that thing come back again. We are grieving our past, grieving past relationships, just plain grieving. The people were grieving for what was, for what they used to have and how things used to be. Isaiah, speaking for God, says God to God's people, stop mourning and wearing the sackcloth of grief, because God is going to deliver you from what is hurting you. God is going to give you beauty for your ashes. The word beauty is translated in the Hebrew as embellishment. Looking back at the things that once was, God declared, right now it may look like nothing but ashes. But when I'm finished with it, I'm going to resurrect it. I'm going to bring it back to life. Everything was torn apart. The Babylonians had come in. They had raided the temple, raided the homes and the marketplace, taking everything for themselves. After all but was taken, even the people were taken into captivity. Now the remnant would return, only to find destruction, and all that was not was destroyed was stolen. Only a shadow of it for myself. But God says, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. The ashes represented that which had been destroyed. But God says, I will bring back to life, but I will also embellish it. I will make it greater than it was before. That which was lost will be returned. That which was taken from you will be returned and multiplied. That which was abused but left for dead will be restored. Today, God promises to bring the things back into our lives that were once there. The old dreams that you thought were dead. The old hopes that you thought were hopeless. The old desires that you thought couldn't be, wouldn't be. The ashes will be revived to become what God expects us to be. In the name of Jesus, I declare it unto you today. You might have messed up. You might have even gone the other way. You might have even outright rebelled. But God has declared, if you repent and turn your face towards him, that you will receive beauty for your ashes. We have some biblical witnesses who came to God with tears and overwhelming pain. We see how God wiped away their tears. You see, Hannah was in tears. Hannah wept and did not eat. She was in so much pain over her barrenness. She wanted to have a child, but she was barren. Her rival, Peninnah, her husband's other wife, provoked her all the time because she was able to have many children. But God came through and turned Hannah's ashes into beauty. Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hezekiah was sick and near death. God says, I've heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. God delivered Hezekiah and added 15 years to his life. God gave him beauty for his ashes. The Lord, who wipes away the tears of Hannah and Hezekiah, will do the same thing for you and I. He is the same God as he was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is just as concerned about you and I as he was about Hannah and Hezekiah. Refuse to go by what you see. I'm asking you today to trust him, and he will give you beauty once again for those ashes. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare it to be so. I declare that the word of God is true. He will give you beauty for your ashes. I don't care what it might look like.
I don't care what people tell you. I'm telling you that your God can turn things around. He can give you beauty for ashes. You thought you lost everything, but God says not so. I'm the restoring God.
Those dreams that you have deferred because you think God can't do it. God is saying, who do you think I am? A man that I should lie? Or the son of man that I should confess? I am God. And I can turn your life around. I can make those things that nobody else believed could happen, can happen. Did I not open the Red Sea and bring my people through? Did I not feed them in the desert when there was nothing? Didn't I give them water when they were thirsty? Didn't I take them into the promised land? That's the God we serve. He's able to do anything exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we might ask or think. The second promise Isaiah prophesied says that God will give you the oil of joy for your mourning. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit as being the comforter. Aren't you glad for the Spirit of the living God? For he is a comforter. In our scripture text, it says that God would console those who mourn in Zion. There is enough God to comfort all who mourn around the world. But his word specifically states those that are in Zion or those that are in God's house are going to get God's attention. You see, God's people, who are we? We are people who are in desolation. We have difficult circumstances. We have crisis situations and troubles, hard times and mourning. We will get his attention. And if there's anyone here who I want, if anyone here, I don't know about you, but I want to get the attention of God. I want his eyes upon me. I want his ears tuned to my cry. I want to be underneath the umbrella of his protection. I want to live in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oil was used to apply to the faces to make them shine. Instead of appearing with the appearance of sadness and mourning. When a person was in mourning, they wouldn't use oil on their face so that people would know that they were in mourning. But the oil of joy is the Holy Spirit. The oil of joy is likened unto the well of living waters. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in hard times, God will give you joy. The oil of joy belongs to the Lord. God promised us the oil of joy for our mourning. When you have something that have turned to ashes, when you have something that is fit for mourning, but rejoice today, for the Lord says, I'll give you ash beauty for your ashes. I'll give you the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Psalms 30 and 11 says that thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You see, sackcloth is what they wore when they were in mourning. Then they would often pour ashes over their forehead as a sign of mourning and sorrow. In these last few years, on the first day of the Lenten season, which is Ash Wednesday, Pastor Jackson and I have anointed with ashes those who wanted to be anointed during the 6 a.m. service and the hour of power service. The ashes are blended with anointed oil, which represents the power and the anointing of God. Whenever the Bible speaks about oil, it's speaking about anointing. You see, Aaron was anointed to be the high priest of the Most High God. He was called to be the high priest of the temple. And when he was anointed, the oil ran down his beard and his garment. When God told Samuel, go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king of Israel. Samuel tried to anoint each of David's brothers with the oil, but the oil and the power refused to flow. But when Samuel poured the oil on David, things began to flow all through David. You see, God had called, anointed, and appointed. David was assigned to be the next king of Israel.
The oil represents the anointing power of God. God wants to anoint you today. He wants to anoint you with the joy today to replace your mourning. God desired to give you a dance today instead of a grieving heart. God desired to clothe you with gladness today, children of the Most High God. God wants you to laugh today and rejoice when you should be grieving. Why? Because God, love and grace is available to you and to me. God wants to give us beauty for our ashes. He wants to give us the oil of joy for our mourning. The third promise Isaiah prophesied was, God will give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oftentimes when I come to church on Sunday mornings, I immediately begin to pray for the release of the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is an overwhelming feeling that is in the sanctuary among God's people. It's a feeling of being burdened down and brokenhearted. It's a feeling of inner pain and hurt. It's a feeling of depression and despair. A feeling of disappointment and hopelessness. Suicidal tendencies and self-pity. Insomnia and sorrow. Oftentimes, this spirit of heaviness can come from a lack of praise. It can come from bitterness and anger. Being unthankful. You see, the spirit of praise, the spirit of heaviness will attempt to steal your joy. It is the work of Satan. Without the oil of joy, we have a tendency to move into self-pity. But the word of God says, reproach has broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there were none. And for comforters, but I found none. Devil wants you to feel sorry for yourself. He wants you to feel alone and depressed. But don't you let him lead you down that pathway. For the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Isaiah 43:1-2 says, but now thus the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, that he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed them. I redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. I shall walk with thee through the fire, and thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This is talking about the God that's concerned about you and me. This is talking about the God that cares about you and me. God has promised us beauty for our ashes. Oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God desired to change your wardrobe today. He desired to give you a new garment. He promised a garment of praise to replace the spirit of heaviness. Today, if you came with a heavy heart, God desires to replace your heavy heart with a garment of praise. If you came in this place today with no desire to rejoice, but when you leave, God wants you to leave with a praise on your tongue, his holy and righteous name in your mouth, even though it may seem like you have ashes, don't you give in to the spirit of heaviness, but use the word of God like a sword. When the devil says you are no good, remind him, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. When the devil says you're not saved, just tell him, I know I'm saved because I was there when it happened. When the devil says to you, worry, just remind him that God says worry about nothing. When the devil says to you, be sick, tell him by his stripes I am healed. When he says to you, be afraid, remind him, God said, my peace I give unto you. When it says be defeated, you say to him, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me and died for me. We are going to face adversities. Tell Satan in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of heaviness. We can tell Satan, I recognize that you have taken advantage of me, but now I resist you in the name of Jesus. You see those places where our lives are in ashes. Jesus have come to bring the healing oil of gladness. Where there is mourning, Jesus has come to place on the garment of praise. You see, Joel was burnt by life, but he proved the devil wrong and fell down and praised God. You see, Daniel was in the lion's den, but he prayed and gave thanks unto God. Abraham was told, go sacrifice your son. But he said, the lad and I will go and worship the Lord. Hannah, the day she gave Samuel back to God, said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Paul was in prison, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Every morning when we get up, we decide what to wear. In the same way, we must decide to put on the garment of praise. In the Hebrew, the word used for garment was more than something draped around our shoulders. It was literally to teach us to wrap and cover ourselves in praise. The garment of praise is to leave no openings, no holes which a hostile spirit can penetrate. God promised to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The fourth promise Isaiah prophesied was, God will call us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Where there is despair and hopelessness, he has come to make us strong as oak trees, which he has planted. All the redemptive work Jesus did was for this purpose, that we may be called the trees of righteousness, planted by God, bringing him glory. The promise is that we might be trees of righteousness, that the mourners in Zion will receive beauty for their ashes. Having all these things done for us, that we might be called and appear like trees that are well planted, whose roots are in Christ, whose sap is the spirit of his grace, whose fruit are the spirit of good works, the planting of the Lord, planted by him in Christ and in his church, so never to be rooted out. God's ultimate purpose is that we might be displayed as trophies of his grace and his goodness. God has a plan in mind to bring about our restoration, bring about our healing and our wholeness. This is the desire and the heart of the Lord for us. What this means is that there is hope for those who have areas of brokenness in your life, which is all of us, if we were to be honest. It means that God cares about those wounds and want to heal us. Even in the midst of brokenness, God intends to make us trees of righteousness, the planting of God. It means that God, the Holy Spirit, has the power to make us whole. And we all have an inner womb that were brought about by the battles of life that we have been in. All of us have been wounded in some place and in some extent. It is part of living in a fallen world where good and evil coexist. It is not possible to grow up in a fallen world without accumulating some wounds. And we need to understand that God cares about our woundedness. Most of the time, we try to keep those wounds within us, private and hidden. They become a burdensome secret, a place that no one is allowed to see. Healing comes when we let Jesus, when we let Christ take us by the hand, walk us back into time to revisit the frightening and hurtful event that has wounded us. Perhaps in your life, there are several wounds. We have the choice to keep them all locked up in a giant tomb inside of us, or we can allow Christ to unlock the door of the tomb. Not only will he open it, but he'll stand by us and see that the woundedness of what is inside that tomb. Today we look at what we've been trying to hide and not look at it for too long, but Jesus will walk into the tomb and empty it. It does not have to be something as horrible as sexual abuse. It can be the loss of a parent or abandonment or neglect. It can be a harsh word spoken by someone you respect. It could be the way that you have been physically harmed or psychologically shamed. God does not look at us and say, just get over it. He deeply cares about us, and he wants to bring restoration to our hearts and our minds. God has promised he will call us trees of righteousness, which he will plant that he might get the glory. It is God's desire to make us whole, that we would be fruitful and have good works, that he might get the glory. God is not going to let anyone take his glory. God is not going to let anyone stop him from drawing us to him. God promises not just for Israel. He also promised us through his son Jesus, who is the Christ, to give us beauty for our ashes, the joy of the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to be called the trees of righteousness, and that he would get the glory. This is the promise of God made for his people. Our God is a God of abundance. Some believe that God just wants us to have just enough. Even some believe that he wants his children to be poor so that they do not get into a spirit of pride. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. God promised not just Israel, but God also promised us through his son Jesus, who is the Christ, that he'll give us beauty for our ashes. It doesn't matter what has happened or where you've been or what you've done or what has been done to you. That doesn't hold God back from blessing you. God will give you beauty for your ashes. It looked like it's not going to happen. It looks like God is not going to come through. I've been praying, God. I've been seeking you, God. I've been turning down the plate, oh God, but nothing has happened. But God says, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. Mourning over those things in your life that never happened. Mourning over those things in your life that you thought would take you down and tear you apart and you'd never stand again. God says, I'll give you oil of joy for your mourning. I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When Satan comes in and try to tear you apart, try to depress you and cause you to be pressed down and oppressed, God says, I'll give you the garment of praise. If you would just lift up your hands and give God praise. If you say, God, I know what it looks like today. God, I know what the report says, but I believe you, God. That's the report I believe, God. I know, God, if I just praise my way through it, God, you're going to bring me through. Don't give up your praise. That's where your blessing is. Don't you stop giving God all the glory that he's so worthy of. Don't you say, God has forgotten about me, therefore I will not praise. But say, more that you press me down, the more I'm going to praise your God. The more the enemy comes up against me, I'm going to back him up with a praise. The more the enemy try to cut me down, oh God, I'm going to stand up and give you praise, oh God. If I have cried all night, I'm going to come in here and give you some praise. I'm going to walk to my job with a praise, oh God. I'm going to go into my door with a praise, oh God. I'm going to talk to my family with a praise, oh God. I know it looks like you're losing. It may look like you're not going to win. But I'm here to tell you, God say you will win. You will have the victory in Jesus' name. God will give you the victory no matter what it looks like or what the report says. He said, I will call you to be trees of righteousness, that I will get the glory. I don't know about you, but that's good news today. I don't know if anyone here have ever grieved over something that they thought was lost forever. And they didn't know how they were going to get over it. But the God we serve says, I'll get you over it. I'll give you joy in your life again. I'll give you a pep in your step. Yes, I will. I'll put a dance in your feet like never before. You thought you were dancing in the disco, but let God finish with you. You're going to dance up and down this aisle. and give God some praise. You're going to thank him for how he brought you through. You're going to thank him for what he's going to take you through. You're going to thank him for being there when you had nobody else. You're going to give him praise because he's worthy of our praise. You're going to say, God, I thank you today that you looked beyond my faults and you saw my need. God, I thank you today. I'm a child of the Most High God. I cannot lose. I will win. It may not look the way I think it should look, but I trust you, God. If you said it, I know you can bring it to pass. However you choose to bless me, God, I will be satisfied. I'll give you beauty for your ashes. I'm going to give you the joy, the oil of joy for your mourning. I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the heaviness of your spirit. When Satan is pressing me, the Lord says, I'm going to raise you up. Somebody is pressed in here this morning. They came and sat in the pew and said, God, I'm going to sit here and see what you got to say. But God is saying, I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. You think it's over. It looks like it's over. It looks like it's burned up. It looks like it's never going to be again. But God said, I got something better for you. Can you trust God for something better? Can you trust God that you didn't know what was best for you? But God says, I know what's best for you. You were looking to the left, but God is coming to the right. You were mourning, broke down, torn down from over what did not happen or what you thought should have happened. But God says, I blocked the enemy. See, you didn't see the enemy coming. I saw the enemy. And I blocked it so that you wouldn't be hurt. But in the midst of that, in the midst of it, I'm going to give you joy for your mourning. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to cause you to stand again. You're going to run on, Deacon Hodge, and say, I'm going to run on and see what the end might be. I'm not giving up on you, God. I might have been sick. I might have been broke down, broke, busted, and disgusted. But God says, I'll take you through. I'll bring you out. I'll take you places you've never been before. Places you never even dreamed of. I'll take you. And then, you shall stand as my trees of righteousness. That when somebody look at you, they say, give me a reason for your praise. And you can say, I serve the Most High God. He can do anything but fail. He brought me out. He healed my body. He put a roof over my head. He put money in my pocket. He brought my children back when they were out. He caused me to stand up and be free. Free in you, Jesus. We're free in you, Jesus. When everybody else said no, Jesus says yes. Free in Jesus. Free to run on and be the trees of righteousness. That we might give him praise. Elder, before I open the doors of the church, I'd ask you, give me a praise song up in here now. We need to give God some praise up in here. I want to praise God because he's worthy to be praised. I want to tell him, thank you for beauty for my ashes. I want to say, thank you, God, for the oil for my mourning, oh God. Thank you, God, for the garment, oh God, the garment of praise. Make me a tree of righteousness, oh God. Make me, God, that I might stand for you. Give him a praise in here this morning. Give God a praise in here this morning. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for what he's going to do. Thank God that he brought you out, that he brought you through. Thank God this morning. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He could have left you right there in your mess, but he didn't. He raised you up and he brought you out. He healed your bodies and told you to run on to see what the end might be. He could have left you right there in that hospital bed, but he didn't. He raised you up and say, go on, my servant. Be the tree of righteousness I've called you to be. Stand for me. Proclaim for me. Preach for me. Give liberation to those that are in captive. Set those that are bound free. Go on and do what God has called you to do. You have an assignment.